Himmlischer Vater,
Heavenly Father,
die Zeit ist so
the time has become so serious,
und wir rechnen damit,
and we expect you
das Wort
to confirm
Knechte
the word
Propheten
of your servants and prophets,
dass man nicht mehr
that
sagt,
no one will say anymore
Zeugen
that the long-awaited prophecies are delayed, but as it is written, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, there will be no more delay. Then the time is near. Then it has come. Lord, we thank you from our hearts that you have drawn us out from among the millions, loved us, and revealed your word to us. Beloved Savior, work in a special way in our hearts today, that we may not only have heard the word of God and know the exposition of his counsel, but that we may also participate in everything that is now happening from God. Lord, remove everything that disturbs us, everything that could stand in our way, from our hearts, our thoughts, our lives, from our midst. Sanctify us through your holy presence. Consecrate this place. Bless our lips and hearts. Yes, bless us all from the riches of your grace. May this gathering also bear fruit for eternity. Grant grace to speak, grace to translate, grace to hear and receive. To you, the Almighty God, we give thanks for everything. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Let us sing Brother Branham's favorite chorus, I Love Him.
Because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary Street. So
you all know that much English.
I love him, I love him, because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Ihr mögt euch setzen.
Now, let us bow our heads now for prayer and get ready for start the message this morning. Into the presence of the living God we come now soberly, and in the fear of him, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus, knowing that we could not come and say, now, Father, here is William Branham or Armand Neville or whoever we might be, we would be turned down quickly. But we have the assurance that he said, if you ask the Father anything in my name, it'll be granted. So I don't guess I could get, using my name, anything from him, but I know that when I use his son's name, then I get my petition. For it's in him that I trust. It's in him that we live and have our being. And we are grateful this morning, God, for all that he means to us. And that's our complete life and being. I thank you for this little church, for its pastor, and for the trustees and the deacons, all the members. And I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit that watches over them. May that great Holy Spirit continually lead them and guide them into the paths that he would have them go in. Reading in the Testaments, the Old and New, and also in the Nicaea age, And how that when sickness struck amongst the saints, the whole church went together. With one heart, they called on God. And their petition was granted. Each one of them as members of the body of Christ, fasting and praying, God heard and answered prayer. Father, may this little church so be so bound in the bonds of love to each other and the Holy Spirit until it'll become like one of those, that there will be no friction among us in this coming year. May there be just such godly love and everybody walking in the way of Christ until many weary pilgrims along the road will come and be saved. May it be said that when you enter the doors of the little building that the presence of God meets you with a sweet welcome. Take sickness away from the midst of us, Lord. And we're grateful that we have hungry hearts to hear Thy word. Continue to hunger our hearts for Thee, Lord. As David of old said, as the heart panteth for the water brook, my soul thirsts after Thee. Thinking of the little hart, the deer, as we would call him today, that he's been torn by the wild dogs, and he's bleeding, he's losing his life. And he must find water if he expects to exist. Once he finds water, his life is renewed. May we be that thirsty, Lord, that we must have Christ if we exist. We must have Christ if we become the church that we're asking for. If we live the lives that we are wanting to live, we must have Christ or we will die. Now as we open Thy words this morning to find consolation and stepping stones to bring us closer to Him, I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will open the word to us. That we, Lord, as Thy servants, will be better equipped to face the new year. For we asked it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, thinking this morning that on the basis of being New Year, I thought it would be good maybe that I would lay aside my New Year's message until tonight. Go back here in some Sunday school scriptures and take a text to talk on for a while on one of the most vital subjects that I know of in the Bible. It's a doctrine that our Lord preached first. The first doctrine that Jesus preached. And I suppose it would be good to make it our first year's teaching. Now, is it cool for any of you? Raise up your hand. Feel a little chilly. I thought I felt it up here. Doc, wherever you are, kind of turn the furnace up just a little because I feel it here moving around. I know you're bound to out there, some of you people, especially with the children. Now, let us turn in our Bibles this morning to Ephesians, the 4th chapter of Ephesians. And let's begin reading at the 11th verse of the 4th chapter of Ephesians. And then we're going to turn from there to John 3:1-12. Read two places in the scripture. Reading now from the 4th chapter of Ephesians, the 11th verse beginning. And he gave some apostles and some prophets some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compact by that which ever joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, I read that so that it'll give you something to study on after you get home. Now, I'll read my text from John 3, a very familiar scripture. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is of flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh or where it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we do know, and testify that which we have seen, and you perceive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? Now, God bless His Word. And I want to take the subject this morning of Jesus' first doctrine. The first doctrine of Jesus was you must be born again. That was His first doctrine. Now, in a way of Sunday school, so that I won't preach and horse myself up for the night, I have thought in my heart that this is something that it seems puzzling and to the people. We hear so much about it all the time. And I thought it would be good this morning if we just search this subject through, clear it out. And that's the first beginning. You must be born again. And it's a very deep one. And we find out that there's so many different meanings that people put to it. Nearly all churches say that you must be born again, but each one has their different interpretations to that, what it means to be born again. I might go to the Methodist church this morning, they say, we believe that you must be born again. How do you interpret it? I go to the Baptist church and we believe you must be born again. How do you interpret it? And I would go to each church and we'd find, if we went to all the 900 different denominational churches, there would be 900 different interpretations. So seeing that there is so many different interpretations and yet a Bible doctrine, there must be and is a truth somewhere.
Amen.
So, now remember, it didn't say you ought to be born again, but you must. Now, we as English-speaking people understand what the word must means. That is, it's absolutely you've got to do it.
Amen.
It's a must. Not you ought to, you'd be better off if you did, but you must be born again.
Amen.
Oh, if we could just take that word this morning and break it down, what it means, how that it's totally impossible. And then if it's that essential and that great that is totally impossible to enter the kingdom of heaven or even see it until you're born again, and so many different interpretations of that word, born again, we ought to seek it out with all of our heart.
Amen.
To find out what it means. There's not a person in here that wants to go to torment. There's nobody. And you don't drive hundreds of miles over icy roads and spend your living, your money, just to come to the church here to, well, say, shake hands with the people, although you love to do that, and to hear the pastor, myself and other ministers speak the word, you get that wherever you are. Pastors, ministers, just like we are. Servants of Christ. But there's something that draws you here. And to this particular place. Therefore, it's the duty of we as pastors to see that this flock is fed and fed right. Because God Almighty will require your blood at our hands.
Amen.
At the day of the judgment, we'll answer
Amen.
For you. So seeing this great, tremendous responsibility that's placed upon us, and God has given us people who love us and come to hear us, then we should spend our time constantly watching for your souls.
Amen.
And when the first little thing we see raising up, it's not right, it's our duty to come to that person because we are shepherds watching that sheep.
Amen.
And if I see that sheep eating on a weed that will kill it, I better drive it away from that weed. Jerk the weed right away from it so it cannot get to it because it'll kill the sheep. And there is no one in the Western countries a weed that an animal can eat. It's called local weed. I don't know whether anybody ever heard of it or not. A local weed, yes. A horse can eat that and you just can't do nothing with him. He just becomes an outlaw. You can't put a saddle on him and you can't do nothing with him. It's called local weed. And you must keep your stock away from that weed. And if it'll cause a horse to eat something, if a horse rather it'll eat something that throws him into this condition, into this spasm, Why, you would be a very poor cowboy to let your horse eat a weed, local weed. It shows that you don't care. And a real pastor, a real servant of Christ, will be a poor example of Christ to see the sheep eat something that's going to drive him away or make him an outlaw before God, a breaker of his word, a breaker of his commandments. You shouldn't do that. You should watch that very closely. So this great doctrine of Jesus that's wrote here before us in the Bible, you must be born again. There is so many different versions of it, as I have said before. Now, I thought this morning, for the sake of many who's been asked to me, what it meant and how could they become a real Christian. Then I thought maybe that we would just approach the subject and take it just as clearly as I know how to give it to you. And it's not in the way of a sermon, it's in the way of teaching Sunday school, that the people might get the message. Now, many interpretations of the born again, and now I'm saying this, and I know it's going on tape, and I want to say this to the pastors that will perhaps receive this tape. I suppose maybe just a little different from what the regular church teaches it. I teach and believe, and believe can sufficiently prove by the Scripture, that you're born of the Spirit and then baptized into the body.
Amen.
By the Holy Spirit. Now, many of them teach that just to come up and be recognized before the congregation and so forth as a sinner, that you want to accept Christ as personal Savior, that is the new birth. Many believe that water baptism is the new birth. And some of them believe that you're born of the water when you're baptized in the water. And there's so many different versions of it. A lot of them, many, believe that to recite a creed and believe on a doctrine of a church, just accept it, say, I believe in the holy church of so-and-so, and I believe God to be the Savior of man and so forth, and from this day on I become a member of this church and fellowship with the Christians. They believe that that's born again. And although the creed that they recite, I do not believe that we could criticize it. Some of them are pure and holy. Some of them are real scriptural. But the Scripture is not applied in the right place.
Amen.
And even applying the Scripture, I believe that the new birth is something beyond that. Even though how well you might mean it, I believe something that the new birth is far beyond your good intentions.
Amen.
And your thoughts, minds, it's beyond that. I do not want to say this for to be sacrilegious, and I do not throw any slams at any organization of church. But a lot of it reminds me of a Jew, a little, it's a joke. And I do not believe that jokes should be told at the pulpit. It's no place for a joke. And therefore, to bring this statement that I've got on my mind is not for a joke, but to show an expression of what I mean. That a Catholic priest one time went home on Friday with a new convert to the Catholic Church, and the Catholic convert had baked a ham. And he said, "Father, I am sorry, my remembrance comes to me, this is Friday. But I believe that according to our great doctrine of the church, that one time I was a Jew, and you sprinkled some holy water on me, and turned me from a Jew to a Catholic. Now, I shall sprinkle a little of that same water upon this ham and make a fish out of it. Now, that's saying that doesn't make it a fish. It's still a ham. No matter how holy the water might pretend to be, and no matter how much that we try to think we are right in saying a creed or joining a church, you're still what you were until you're actually born again of the Spirit of God. It doesn't change you. Your creed, joining church, or changing your ideas or your good intentions, although as good as it might seem, it's still not right. Amen. There's something's got to happen. A new birth is an experience. Amen. Something that takes place. So it is not that it brings the new birth. Now the different churches would say, well, you accept this or believe that, and it's all right. But it isn't. Now, to begin with, to base back, the reason we have to be born again is because the Bible teaches us that we were all born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and come to this world speaking lies.
Amen.
Then that shows us that our nature, to begin with, is sinful. To start with, we're no good to begin with. We cannot claim anything by our shrewdness, our sincerity, or how great we are, how little we are, or whatever more. We are altogether wrong to begin with.
Amen.
And there is nothing at all that we can do about it. You cannot, Jesus said, who by taking thought can add one measure to his statue. You can take all the thoughts, do all the dreaming of it, read it, study it, examine it, and everything else, and you can't help yourself one iota. So that just shows it all out. I'm so glad it does.
Amen.
Because if it laid in the thought of knowing something smart, we poor illiterate people would be left out.
Amen.
So we wouldn't have a chance. But God changed it, or never had it that way in the beginning. The churches always makes it complicated. God makes it simple. So it's brought down into a place where all of us can see. All of us can have it. It's for whosoever will. Now, one man could not save the other. Now, it makes no difference what anyone tries to say. No man can save another. No matter how smart, what his office is, let him be a pastor, priest, bishop, cardinal, or pope. He cannot have one thing to do with saving any man's life, because he is a sinner himself.
Amen.
Born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. He's a liar to start with.
Amen.
And any word that he would say would be a lie if it was contrary to God's word and God's plan.
Amen.
But God made a plan for man to be saved.
Amen.
Man cannot add anything to that plan.
Amen.
It's God's plan.
Amen.
And that's the plan that we are going to study this morning.
Amen.
What is God's plan? He said, let every man's word be a lie. Mine be the truth. Therefore, we would be daring to change one sentence to make it something else. No matter how much our rituals and so forth reads, we got to forget that this is God's Word.
Amen.
Just can't be done no other way. God has a plan. He's made a plan. And remember to the first thing, until you're born again, you'll never understand. Twice he spoke it.
Amen.
Except the man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom. Except the man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom.
Amen.
Now that's punctuated too. The word, in the making all those words, they tell me that they had to write it out. They, when they say verily, verily, that's a punctuation. Like a capital. Verily, verily, I say unto you. And the word in one place or many places is translated absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely, I say unto you. Who said that? Did a cardinal, priest, pastor, evangelist, pope, God himself.
Amen.
Now there's no excuses. He will in no wise, no wise at all, cannot in any other way, no matter how great he is, what his name is, how big he is, or how popular he is, he cannot even understand the kingdom of God until he's born again.
Amen.
It's a great subject.
Yes, amen.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, watch, so get the Greek translation, you'll find. Not see with your eyes, you see with your heart.
Amen.
See? You can't see the kingdom of God with your eyes because it's a spiritual kingdom.
Amen.
See? In other words, you'll never be able to understand the kingdom of God until you are born again.
Amen.
It's all an unraveled mystery. And when you're born again, the plans of the kingdom itself, becomes real to you. Like a contractor to build a building. Unless he could read a blueprint, there's no need of him trying to build a building if he doesn't understand the blueprint. And then when he understands the blueprint, then he knows how to build a building. That's the way it is. That's what happens about building the kingdom of God. You've got to understand the blueprint, and you won't know the blueprint until you're born again.
Amen.
And when you're born again and then deny the blueprint, what takes place? A lovely little girl that's recently, I used to go with her mother when we were young. And she was a lovely, beautiful woman. Her name is Huff now. Her name was Lee before she was married. When I used to pastor the Milltown Baptist Church, they belonged to the United Brethren Church, but, oh, they liked me real well. And I used to go with her. They live way back up behind Brother Wright's here. And I used to go up to their house, and the little girl was a very sweet little girl, and she was a little girlfriend to me. And, Brother Lee, a fine man, loyal to the church, the United Brethren view of the church. And one night he invited me to go home with him, stay all night. And I said, Brother Marion, I'll be glad to do that. And so after the service is over, well, the girl and I got in the car and we went on, and I had to open a dozen gates, I believe, going around the hillside and up to hit a great big old log house. Well, we sat out in the yard and waited for her mother and father and younger sister to come up. When they come up, we all went in and had a little lunch that night. The mother got some stuff out and we eat, and the father and I were sleeping together downstairs in a great big feather bed and a straw tick under it, you know, a real good sleeping. It's better than any of these old beauty rest mattresses you get, I'll tell you that. And so we, the mother and the two girls went upstairs. And that night, while we were laying there, Brother Lee had a dream. And he had always debated with me about the water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't believe it. And he was a contractor. So he said, Brother Branham, I just dreamed a dream. And he said, I dreamed I went up to New Albany and I was building a man's house and he gave me the blueprint. But when I seen a certain way he cut his windows and fixed a certain place, I said, that's not right. It just can't be right. That's contrary. That isn't right. So I built it the way I thought was right. And when he come back from Florida from his vacation, I had his house almost ready. He looks at the house and he goes and gets the blueprint and looks at that and said, say, you have built my house wrong. And I said to him, no, I haven't built your house wrong. What about this such and such a place? Well, he said, that really don't belong there. He said, tear it down. If you expect me to pay you, you'll build it the way the blueprint said. And he said, what do you think about that, Brother Branham? I said, there is a creek running right down below the house here. And we went to it. He said, I don't want any tearing down on that day. I said, get it right now. Amen. Put it up according to the blueprint. Amen. How it paid just recently. Then his girl married a fine boy. Nice man. He's a machinist over here at the boat works. And the boy had his fingers cut off this way, and a nice man. And they have a lovely family, three little girls, and one of them's all Christians. And they sang a trio. If we ever have a meeting here, they're coming to sing for us. And one of the little girls majored in piano music and was a teacher of classical music when she was just a child, 15, 16 years old. And the kids at school got to tease her about different things and being a Christian. And it got on her nerves and gave her a breakdown and she lost her mind. And they had her in Louisville and was going to take her to the insane institution the following Monday. And they wouldn't, the doctors wouldn't let me see her. And I went over as a visitor and sat on the side of the bed with the father and mother. And while I was sitting there, the Holy Spirit moved in Our Lady of Peace Sanitarium in Louisville, where they take the nervous patients, and when there's still a hope for them, then if you can't do that for them, they send them to Madison, Indiana. And the girl was going to Madison that week. She was past help. And sitting there, a vision came before us and spoke to the girl in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the mother grabbed me by the knee, reached up and grabbed her husband the hand and said, it's never wrong. I said, just don't worry. She'll be all right. I left the building quickly. That night at 9 o'clock, the phone rang. Oh, I believe it was a little before nine, before I come to the church that night, it was on a Sunday. And the father with his heart so thrilled, he said, I couldn't go home holding the good news, Brother Brown. He said, the doctor come in and examine my girl. He said, what's happened to her? She can go home tomorrow. My mother was laying a corpse a few weeks ago. There the trio was down there. The little girl just as nice as she could be. Her and her boyfriend, sweetly. Oh, I tell you, the blueprint. God's Word. is the one to explain the program of how we must be born again. Amen. First, we reckon ourselves sinners and worthy of condemnation. And we are all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. There's not a sound parcel of us. Our minds are bad. Our soul is corruptible. Our constant thinking is evil. Every imaginary thought of a man's mind is evil. A sinner. And also that our body is weak. Our spirit is no good. And we're just full of corruption. And how could one corruptible thing bring another good thing out of a corruptible?
Hallelujah.
Let me say this, that in Job 14th chapter, he said, seeing that man is born of a woman is full of sorrow and trouble, yet he cometh forth like a fire, he fadeth away. And on as the prophet goes on speaking, he said, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one!
Amen.
You stick your bucket down into the well and pull out a bucket of water and it's stagnant. It stinks. You look in it and it's muddy. And little worms is in that water. There's no way at all to put your bucket back and get a clean bucket. The whole well is contaminated. And the whole soul, mind, and body of man is contaminated with sin. Born in sin physically, shaped in iniquity, and come to the world speaking lies so that his own soul's contaminated.
Amen.
Nothing good. One cannot redeem the other because it's all wrong.
Amen.
You can't take a bucket full of water here that's contaminated and another bucket full that's contaminated and mix them together, you got more contamination. There's no purification to it. But God determined to save man. He placed upon him the iniquity of us all.
Amen.
The penalty of sin, that you're born in, the penalty of sin is death. Sin is death. And the penalty was so great that there's none of us could help the other. So there had to be someone who could pay this penalty.
Hallelujah.
What if this morning the penalty to leave this room was $100 billion? There's none of us could leave. Because there's none of us worth that. But then if one came in, who was worth enough to pay for all of us? It takes one. We can't do it. It took one who was worthy. Oh, how I wish I could stop here for a while. Go back and pick up Ruth and Naomi. Show that how the kinsman redeemer to redeem the falling estate had to be first worthy. Had to be a kinsman. Therefore, God, the Spirit, Jehovah, became kinfolks to us. By taking on a form of flesh, he became kinfolks. Had to be that. Then he had to be worthy. And he is the one who produced that fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. He was the one who bore our iniquities. A beautiful type. I got your numbers. I've got my scriptures wrote down here. And numbers. The beautiful type of it is, in there it's altogether pretty. if you could see it, it's a brass serpent lifted up in the wilderness. How that Israel, that serpent to them was a death bite. And there was no remedy. There wasn't a physician among them who had the remedy of the cure. They had physicians among them, but not for that bite. Amen. Just as I've said, there's no physicians among us that can cure sin.
Amen.
It's a death bite. And we're all guilty. All shaped in iniquity. All of us are guilty. But what did God do? They was guilty then. Then death had to be paid, the penalty of death. But God had Moses to erect the brass serpent and put it on a pole that nothing the people could do, no money they had to pay, nothing at all, no creeds they had to recite, no churches they had to join.
Amen.
Just look and live.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
See how simple?
Amen.
Look and live. Don't join a church. No sensation.
Amen.
You don't have to feel the funny feeling. Just look and live.
Amen.
That's all.
Oh, glory.
So simple.
Glory.
Not if you can remember all the Ten Commandments, you live. Now, if you know all the statutes, just look.
Amen.
And live. That's all you had to do. And every man looked upon him, lived.
Amen.
Jesus, when he was here on earth, he said, talking to Nicodemus here, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
Amen.
So must, why? In the same manner.
Amen.
For the same thing. The same purpose.
Amen.
To do the same work.
Amen.
Many times it's puzzled people when they see the serpent representing Jesus. The serpent represented Jesus in this much. Did you notice? The serpent was dead.
Amen.
There was no life in it. Jesus died. Like Cain, when he slew Abel. Abel died on the altar with his sacrifice. After Abel offered his sacrifice and killed his sacrifice for his sin, then he died on the same altar with his sacrifice.
Amen.
In order to be born again,
amen,
you have to die on the altar with your sacrifice.
Amen.
Just as dead as he was.
Amen.
And you were born again.
Amen.
The serpent had no life in it. And you say, why was it brass? Brass represents judgment.
Amen.
Divine judgment.
Amen.
Did you notice in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the altar was made out of brass where the sacrifice is burnt?
Amen.
Brass speaks of judgment. Like Elijah. In his days, he went to look at the skies to see if any rain was coming after his prayer. And he said, the sky looks like brass. What was a divine judgment upon an unbelieving people, unbelieving nation who had forsaken God. It was divine judgment. Brassy. And the serpent itself, its form, represented sin already judged. For the serpent was judged in the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
And he was, the serpent judged. And when we look at Christ, you see the penalty. The only one, God himself, made flesh, God coming to the earth and took on him the sin of all of us. And the judgment and wrath of Almighty God was poured out upon his body. And there it was riven at the cross. That's the real judgment. He tread the winepress of the wrath of God alone. Alone he walked the road. Alone he died. With not no help from an angel. From a man, from his church, from his mother, from his brethren, from his father.
Amen.
Forsaken by God, man, and nature.
Amen.
He died alone to show us that even nature itself can help us in the hour of death.
Amen.
There's no friend, no priest, no pope, no pastor.
Amen.
It's death. But there was one who took it for us. No life in the serpent. It was absolutely crystallized. That was the penalty. He died until the earth got ashamed of itself. He died until the stars got ashamed. He suffered until the sun wouldn't shine. He suffered till the moon turned off its lights. He suffered till even the elements of the earth were so black and dark until it was midnight so dark you could feel it. It wasn't nothing. No one's ever suffered like that or could suffer like that. There's no mortal could go through it. But he suffered it. God laid upon him the iniquity of us all and passed his judgments upon him. And he tread the winepress of the wrath of God alone. With no help. There was nothing to help him. God placed the penalty. Everything was under that penalty. And nothing could help him because we were all guilty. There's no high priest could have come helped him. There was nothing could help him. No pope. No angel. Everything stood back and watched it. It was the greatest moments ever in the history of the world. He died until there's not one drop of life left in him. Become like the brass serpent, just a crystallized ornament hanging on the cross. Now, the approach to this birth. There is approach to it. And to approach this birth, you have to go through a process. Just like anything that lives. Anything that lives again's got to die first. And you cannot keep your same spirit. You cannot keep your same habits.
Amen.
You cannot keep your same thoughts. You gotta die.
Amen.
You got to die like he died.
Amen.
You got to die on his altar. Like Abel did with his lamb. You got to die with your lamb.
Amen.
You got to die. Die to your own thinking. To be born to his thinking. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. You got to think his thoughts.
Amen.
And now, brother, sister, let me say this as intelligently as I know how to say it. How can you think his thoughts and deny his word?
Amen.
And yet claim you're born again.
Amen.
Just ask yourself that question. How can you do it? You can't. If you're born again, you got his thoughts. If the mind of Christ is in you, then you are a new creature. The Bible teaches that. And if any brother would like to, will you find that creature? Look that word creature up in the lexicon. And you'll find out that the word creature there is interpreted or translated a new creation. Because you are a one creation, a human being born in sexual desire here on earth, and now you're a new creation born by Spirit. Your own thoughts are dead. They're so dead until they're a crystal like the brass serpent. Or like he died when the heavens and earth and everything witnessed he was dead. He died till he was so dead that even his blood and water separated in his body. His death was so tremendous, the world had a nervous breakdown. It shook and trembled until rocks fell out of the mountains. What could die like that? No pope dying would do that.
No
pastor dying would do that. But when God in flesh died on the cross, the earth had a nervous breakdown. To know that the very spoken word of God, rocks and dirt, sticks and clubs and trees hanging in the earth and the stars and the moon, his very spoken word, seen their creator become flesh and sin poured out upon him. The wrath of God poured out upon him until the moon shut off its light, the sun shut off its light. The earth had a nervous shake breakdown.
Amen.
Would have bursted to pieces if it hadn't been a future for us. Everything. And if his elements of the earth, upon looking, seeing what was taking place, shook them to that condition, what ought it do to me and you? What ought our souls to do? When we look and see what God did for us, and it was all for you and for me, what ought it to do to us? Continue in sin? God forbid. But to abstain from sins and die to sin. Don't you see what sin done to him? Sin killed him. And he took the penalty of sin that he might bring the righteousness of God to you and me. So when the righteousness of God comes to us, sin is dead in our mortal beings. Oh, I hope you see it. Yes, to be born again, you must go through a process of death. All everything does. You take a grain of corn. If that corn ever expects to live again, it's got to die first.
Man.
If a grain of wheat ever expects to live again, it's totally impossible.
Amen.
For that corn, that wheat, that flower, that tree, that grass,
amen,
that vegetable, everything that expects to live again must die first.
Amen. Amen.
Then how are you going to escape it? You got to die first. You got to die. Die how? To yourself. Die to everything. So that you can be born again. You've got to do that. If you don't die, you can never live again. And look, did you know each day something has to die so you can live?
Amen.
Now to you Seventh-day Adventists, that's in our midst. Many people say, I wouldn't shoot a squirrel, Brother Branham. I wouldn't kill a deer or a rabbit, fish. Because I don't believe that we should kill things. My brother, did you know that the vegetables and things that you eat is life also? You have to kill it. And the only way that you can exist in this life, something has to die. So you can live by its dead life. Now, if something has to die so you can live by its mortal life here on earth, to live mortally, did not something have to die So it by its life you can live eternally?
Amen.
Just ask yourself that question. And that one was Christ, because no other one has immortality.
Amen.
The Son only has immortality. And He gives Himself to you by just accepting Him. Now, it must die. Now, that don't mean turn a new page. Now, this new year. You say, Brother Branham, I've been coming here for a long time. I've been a member of the church. This new year's, I'm going to turn a new page and start new. That don't mean that. Not turn a new page, but actually die and be born again. You got to feel so guilty when you stand in His presence.
Amen.
Whether you go the Methodist way or the Baptist way or whatever way you go. You got to be so guilty and feel so guilty till you, it'll kill you.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Right. You, it'll kill you. Your worldly life will die right there. You got to reckon yourself so guilty in the presence of God until your worldly life dies right there. The sin question's over for you. When you're standing in His presence. When you look like that, you're sure to live. Because you die. And the only way you can live again is to be die first so you can live again. Now you see what I'm coming to, don't you?
Yeah.
What the birth is, the new birth. First to die and or to be born again.
Amen.
And if you still got the things of the world in you, you're not born again.
Amen.
And how are you going to claim to be born again and still with the things of the world hanging on you?
That's right. Amen.
How can you do it? Young Christian the other day, bunch of people, I don't say they're not, but in looking at some pictures, Christian women, Christian man, all lovable around one another in bathing suits and swimming. See? But just, they said, that's real love. That's real filth.
Amen. Amen.
It's not love. Love is expressed different from that. Our souls are placed by faith on His brass altar, God's judgment, and our offering is consumed. I remember when Elijah, under those brass skies, laid the offering of God up on the altar, the offering was consumed.
Amen.
Bala could not consume his offering.
Amen.
I don't want to say this, but I must say it. And when you go to a church and accept their creeds and their forms of baptisms, and the offering that you supposedly yourself to lay up on there, you might get up shivering, speaking in tongues, running all over the floor, or you might get up weeping. But if that offering has been received by God, it's consumed.
Amen.
The world is dead to you.
Hallelujah.
You're gone. For we reckon ourselves dead. And buried.
Oh, praise the Lord.
We are dead and we are hid in Christ.
Amen.
Hid in Christ. And besides that, then after that, we're dead and buried and hid in Christ. Then we're sealed with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You see what I mean now? You are dead. Our souls are placed upon His divine judgment. That's brass. When our souls is placed upon an altar of divine judgment, what was the penalty? Death.
Amen.
And when you lay yourself upon the altar of God, which is pronounced death upon the sinner, how can you raise from there alive in sin if God accepted the sacrifice? Is it clear now?
Amen.
You die. You actually are consumed and you're petrified. There's no more left of you but just this form that you're standing in.
Hallelujah.
Like the brass serpent. Like Christ was when he took him dead and cold off the cross. You're dead. Because why? You're on God's altar of judgment. What is his judgment? When the judge has passed his sentence, what is the sentence of his penalty? Death.
Never.
And when you place your soul upon his altar of judgment, it's death to you.
Hallelujah.
Now you get it? Oh, you might get up there and do anything. You might dance in the spirit. You might cry like anybody would cry. You might run up and down the floors. You might join every church. You might do anything you want to. I'm talking to Pentecostals now. Go right back out and defile a man's wife.
Amen.
Break up a man's home. Some of you women. You'll go right back. No matter how much a word comes to you to do right and think, you won't recognize it.
Amen.
You'll never let your hair grow, women, under that. You'll never dress right. You'll still be just exactly like the world because you're not dead to the world, yet you're alive with it. Some of you men will never quit drinking, smoking. You'll never quit lusting after foul women, immorally dressed, when you see them on the street instead of turning your back, walking away. You'll still lust right on just the same because why? You're alive with the world yet. But when that sacrifice has been received, you're dead. That's right. You hear what I mean? You understand what I'm talking about? Now, your soul is laid up on that altar of God's brass judgment. Then God receives the sacrifice. Now, it shows that you haven't received it yet. If it does, if you're still alive in the world, God's never took it. Now, you people talking about getting the Holy Ghost and how you have to wait so long, here you are. Until God receives that sacrifice. Until it's laid on his judgment, sir. Until his judgment has actually killed your senses.
Amen.
You might say, well, I'm going to turn a new page. That ain't it. Well, I know I used to smoke. I'm going to quit smoking. That still isn't it.
Amen.
Until God receives that sacrifice.
Amen.
On his brass altar. His altar of judgment. What is his judgment? Death.
Yeah.
That's a penalty. The soul that sinneth, it remains in that, shall die. I don't care what you've done. Jesus said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, have not done this and done that. He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity.
Amen.
See, when that sacrifice is received by the fire and it goes up like the smoke goes up, you rise with your sacrifice.
Amen.
Into the heavenlies, and they're sealed away from the things of the world then.
Hallelujah.
Our soul's on his altar. What are you done then? After you have been died, then what are you to do? Then you are conceived anew.
Amen. Amen.
You are conceived anew. You was first conceived in iniquity.
Amen.
Now you're conceived in something new. What is it?
Amen.
The living word.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, that changes it now, doesn't it? Now we're through the struggle. And if you
Amen.
See it, what you got to do. Now what happens? You're conceived anew in the living word.
Oh, glory.
What is it? The word becomes alive in you.
Hallelujah.
You begin Hallelujah. To see things different. Where once you couldn't see that. Now you do see it. There's something different now. Makes all the scriptures come together. Makes everything dovetail just right. Then now something's beginning to happen. Now, you died to your own thinking. Now you're conceived because we are washed by the water of the
Amen.
Word.
Amen.
Is that
Hallelujah.
Right?
Hallelujah.
What do you do with the baby as soon as it's born? Washing.
Glory.
Is that right?
Hallelujah.
And as soon as a man has died to himself, is born of God, he's washed by the water of the Word.
Hallelujah.
If it says Jesus' name, you say Jesus' name.
Amen.
Says you must be born again, you say the same thing.
Amen.
Ever what God says, you're washed for that water
Amen.
Of the Word.
Amen.
Now, you're ready now for life.
Amen.
Amen.
You're ready to be, start out now. Now, you're born anew, born in the family of God with a new parent.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Your tutors used to be, now you got tutors that is now.
Yes.
You got a new parent.
Yes, sir.
You can't be born without having a parent.
Ihr könnt nicht geboren worden sein, ohne einen Vater zu haben.
That's probably the middle of the tape. I do not think there is any need to add anything to what we have heard. The only thing we all need is to approach the throne of grace in faith. Remember, even such a serious and sharp sermon is not meant to discourage us. On the contrary, it is meant to be a healing, divine medicine that we take and that will have its effect in us. We have heard it very clearly. Neither someone with reputation, rank and name, nor the individual can help themselves or bring about the new birth. Only God can do that. But we have also heard that He has already provided for it. And just as a seed is necessary for every birth, so it is for the new birth. And we have taken the divine seed of the Word into ourselves. Now we must place our will in God's will. God will not do anything against our will. But if we place our will in His will, and as we have heard, die with a sacrifice, I want to tell you what this means for all of us. In contrast to those who simply see Christ as a little child here in His mother's arms, or have never understood Golgotha, we, I say and believe, have understood Golgotha in its divine significance for us. We did not remain in Bethlehem. We walked the whole way with the Lord. And if we understand Scripture correctly, then we, as the bride, were already in the bridegroom, just as Eve was in Adam, and was taken out of his sight. So we, as the bride, were in the eyes of God, in the bridegroom. That is why Paul could say, I have been crucified with Christ. He was in Christ, and then Christ was in him. We were in Christ. Now Christ wants to be in us. Beloved, it is actually very clear, but we also want to experience it as clearly as it has been transfigured for us from Scripture through the Spirit of God, so clearly. We want to experience it according to the Scripture. Who desires so deeply that we truly die to ourselves, that we have died in order to live for the Lord? What a serious sermon. Only when we have died to ourselves can we live for Him. Otherwise not. And we have also heard that death is the wages of sin, the judgment, the punishment that sin has brought. He died. But we must identify with this sacrifice. As I have already said, we must not see the Lord as a little child in the manger, but identify with him on the hill of Golgotha, where he died for us, and understand that it would have been us if it had not been him. He took our place, died in our stead, so that we might live by his grace. That is the gospel. That is the good news. That is full salvation, as the Bible teaches. Let no one despair, for we have also heard this. Good intentions, a new era, a new chapter are not enough. Rather, simply say, Lord, here we are, gathered before you. Let us experience today, now, what you have prepared for us on Golgotha. Here is our will. It belongs to you. As we have sung often enough, my will belongs to my God. I live for Jesus alone. Do not be sad. Death is not the end. It is only the end of a chapter. Then a new, more beautiful, better life will come. I wish for it. Today, you all know, one of the men of God, I say it now almost with a smile, because I see that the word has hit us so much. But it was Augustine who said, Lord, give me virginity, give me purity, but not right now. He was not yet ready to die. He wanted to gain a little more time, and he said, give it to me, but not right now. Beloved, let us not just read about it in the church history book, but simply say, Lord, here I am. I am fully aware of this today, at this hour. Only when I die with you, can I live through you. That's how it is. This is the thing we must keep in mind and want to experience with God and will experience. Praise be to his name. He has provided everything. Let it be done to us according to his word. Let it be done to us as he has said. For we believe what he has said, and we believe what he has done. Praise be to his name. Amen. Let us stand to give thanks to the Lord together. Let us sing the chorus, Just as I am.
Dein Blut wäscht mich von Sünden rein, O Gottes Lamm, ich komm, ich komm.
Himmlischer Vater,
Heavenly Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the sermon. We thank you that we have understood you, that we may look within ourselves and examine ourselves whether we have been taken out of the world, or even better, whether the world has been taken out of us. For you say, ye are in the world, but not of the world. Beloved Lord, you have made children of God out of children of men. Savior, Today, we want to consciously identify ourselves with you in the crucifixion. Each and every one of us wants to see ourselves crucified there with you. The end of our will and being, the end of our ways and thoughts, dying with you in order to be buried with you and rise to a new life. Lord, revive us anew. Yes, grant us this new divine life, that it may flow, O Lord. For then the works that you have done will be done. Then you will come into your own. Beloved Lord, move us all, so that we may pray together, believe together, experience together what you have promised. Lord, we are here, and we have heard, and we know. No one can help another or themselves. But you are here. You are our help. You are our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord. We trust you. Yes, Lord. We say it in faith. We are crucified with you. We have died with you. We have been buried with you. We have risen with you. Let it now become manifest that our testimony may correspond with our lives. My God, may the Word become flesh in us and through us. Savior, I ask you, let no one despair. We come as weary and heavy laden, but we live in a completely different state. Those who come to you weary and heavy laden go on their way freed and relieved, saved and blessed. For those who come to you, you help, you save, you deliver. Today, we call upon you together. Lord, grant salvation, deliverance, and grant the new birth, as it is written in the Book of God, as an experience that we can testify to, that the old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Lord, may heavenly joy come upon all people, that the Savior is born unto us. For only when he is born in us does the breakthrough of this divine joy come. Lord, thank you for your servant and prophet, Brother Branham. Thank you for using him to reveal the mysteries, but also to show your people the right way. May we, who have become believers, undergo a circumcision of the heart and of our nature, that everything that cannot stand before you may be done away with. May you now grant everyone faith and courage to thank you that you have already done it. Worship and honor to your wonderful and holy name. We thank you. It is finished. It is done. In me, in you, to the glory of God. Through the blood of the Lamb, through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, the threefold witness of the Almighty here on earth. Lord, we agree with what was done through the blood, what was done through the Spirit, what is done through the Word, and we submit under your mighty hand. Lord, let us rejoice in you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
to your glorious name. You have done it. You have accomplished it. And where there is still a lack, where things are still in progress, Lord, may you command haste today and say to everyone, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Lord, accomplish everything in all for the glory of thy holy name. Amen.